the Canadian Bitcoiners podcast is just two guys and maybe a guest or two discussing Bitcoin, Bitcoin equities, and the related macroeconomic space. It's not meant to be financial advice, so please, if you're doing any investing after listening to our program, do your own research, do your own due diligence, and understand that any money you invest can be lost. The show is meant for entertainment purposes only, and we hope you enjoy the program. Friends and enemies, welcome back to the mighty CBP. This is episode number 163 of the weekly flagship. My dog is just rolling into the room here right on time. My name is Joey. His name is Moose. And the guy in the other panel is Len. What's going on, buddy? Great to see ya. Nice day today. Did you get outside today? Hit a few balls or what?
No. It rained a little bit this morning, which screwed up tennis. Because once you get some puddles on it, it takes a while to dry it out. So, yeah, I was hoping to get it out there for noon. Didn't happen. And, yeah, I just putted around for the rest of the day. It was really nice. It turned out to be a fantastic day.
Yeah.
But so if you look at the forecast, Friday, once again, calling for rain.
Rain.
I love
rain.
It.
Rain. Steady.
So I'm helping out. If anybody wants to have a rainy Friday, I'm here to help you out because my golf continually gets canceled as a result of it. So enjoy. Your grass is going to be green. You don't have to do anything to do. Just every Friday, the rain comes. Joey, how are you, buddy?
Pretty good. Hang on a sec here. My dog is walking all over my cables. I'm great. Great day at work today. Great day outside today. Went for a nice run after work for the first time in a while. I'm on the shoes with big soles train now. I bought my first pair of Hokas a couple of weeks ago from Ten Toeing here in Dundas for, I think they were $89. Pretty good. They were on sale, I guess, their last season's model or whatever. But man, I don't know if you tried these shoes. Once you try them, you'll never go back to regular running shoes. I guarantee it. You will never go back to regular running shoes. It's like walking on a cloud. Incredible. I'm way behind on this.
Isn't that actually a franchise, walking on a cloud? I could have swore that.
Is it? I don't know. Might be. It's not a shoe. It's not a shoe company. You think it's like a store?
I think I could be wrong, but yeah.
I don't know. But I will say that pair of Hokas is really nice. Really nice. And like I've had so many dumb sports injuries over the years. Like, you know, I talk about it all the time, my Achilles, my ACL. I got like knee, hip issues from playing football and basketball. But man, running on these things, Len, there's no pain. It's unbelievable. You know what? It makes me choose.
You made me remember. Joey's Achilles is not around anymore.
I know. What happened to that account?
I don't know. It was him, your ACL. Was there a third one or no?
I've only done two really tough injuries. Those were the two. So
see, those two accounts are dormant. That's good.
CBP days, right? That was like our first year, I think.
No, they were still around even last year. I'm pretty sure the Achilles was around. Yeah, he stuck around for quite a while. But he was a staple. Just like some guys in the booth will be talking about him in a little while. But Joey.
Yeah.
It's good times.
We may as well do a little housekeeping here. So last week on the show, we had two interviews. Rich Diaz, I did on Tuesday. I really enjoyed that interview, and I think they're rich. I'm a Looney Hour fan. I know you've listened to Looney Hour, I think, but you don't listen regularly, and I know a lot of people listen to the show are in the same boat. I'll say this, okay? Rich is a guy who, like he mentions on the show, and like you guys know if you listen to Looney Hour, is part of a three-man weave on his own show. And so unlike Len and I, where we really do get to flesh out our ideas and, you know, get everything that's on our chest off our chest during the hour and 45 minutes or so that we're together with you guys. Rich doesn't get to do the same thing. It was a pleasure hearing him talk about some of the Canadian economic history, some of the things that he think landed us in the hot water we're in today, how to get out of that. And, you know, I did want to talk to him a bit about narrative control because it's something that they touch on sort of tangentially on their podcast, but they don't often get too deep into it. And you and I do, and Rich and I did for the last 15 or so minutes of the show. It was excellent. And I'm happy to say that he enjoyed himself so much, Len, that he wants to get a beer in Montreal with me on Friday next week. So I'm going to go meet him Friday afternoon for a pop. I'll probably bring my wife too. She'll be with me that weekend. So
that is next weekend. No, it's this week. It's this week coming
up. Yeah, Friday.
Yeah, I'm totally forgot. Yeah. Yeah, it's a very, very busy week for a lot of Bitcoiners in Canada. Yeah. I even wrote about it.
And then you had Fundamentals from Rock Paper Bitcoin on Wednesday. That was a good show too. He's got quite a story. I didn't realize his background was so, I don't know if deep's the right word, but he's you know, seen some things. He's done some things in a number of different silos and now doing a podcast like you and I. That was a good show too. I enjoyed that one.
They release their show every Thursday morning. Oh, it's every two Thursday mornings.
Mm-hmm. So it's twice a month. Yeah.
Yeah. So that
and
was
this week.
That,
who do we have this week for the interview?
Zach Baumstra. He's the guy behind, if you want to have your S19 powered by 120 volts, you could. He's the guy that created those boards, those low keyboards. And awesome. He's an electrical engineer by trade, I believe. And yeah, so I just confirmed that he is indeed coming on. So fingers are crossed. Last time he had to bail out kind of last moment because his wife had a baby and it was just sleep pattern was screwed up. But he's you know, it's several months later. So hopefully it all is good. And yeah, I really want to chat with him. He's a really bright guy. And I really want to talk a lot about these low keyboards.
Amazing. Speaking of wives having kids, my wife is pregnant. And somebody mentioned it in the chat last week. I am dying to know how that person, I think it was during the Rich Diaz episode, was able to pin that down so quickly. If you want to reach out to me and DM me and tell me if you like go to my gym, are you my ultrasound tech? You know, like, are you fucking hanging out at the restaurants that I'm going to? Like, if I would love to know how you knew. Number one. And number two, obviously, we're very excited. I can't wait. The little peanut is, I think, due sometime in November, middle of November. It's like, it's hard to predict the date at this point, right? I can't imagine that they have like an exact science for that. Do they?
You don't know. As you get closer to the date, then they kind of accelerate things or they let things be. So, I mean, it's going to be around November, give or take, right?
Yeah.
Within a 3 weeks.
Exactly.
Period, I'm guessing.
Yeah. And you guys will have the pleasure of meeting Kenzie if you come to the plate after party. I don't know how long she'll stay. She's pretty tired these days. This is like month 3.5. So yeah. Anyway, lots can still happen. So I don't want to count on my chickens, but yeah, exciting all the same.
Yeah. You're reminding me when Daniela was pregnant, she was obviously very tired. And during that time we had a membership, tennis membership at a place in Northeast Oakville. I don't want to name the place. And we used to play every Friday night, 10 o'clock from 10 to 11. And the guy that worked there, he did not give a shit about that place. He stayed there till 2-3 o'clock in the morning, but he let us play.
We love it.
Paid for 1 hour and we played always to like 1:30, 2 o'clock. And we were just fucking exhausted.
Can I just tell you that you have like the weirdest sleep schedule of any person I've ever met? Anyone I've ever met, you got the weirdest sleep schedule. I don't even think it's that close, honestly.
No, my sleep schedule is pretty good. It's pretty standard. It's just when you throw something in there, it's going to fuck it up. But yeah, if you take that out of the equation, I go to bed like 10:30-ish.
Do you?
Yeah, but that's why I tend to default. Maybe 11 o'clock, I tend to fall asleep. And I wake up 5-ish, 5:30 maybe.
Jeez.
And yeah.
So much
sleep. I'm just used to that. I mean, I'm used to the early rise, and I can't get out of that. I'm stuck in that.
Should we get to the sponsors? We're a little late here for sponsors.
Fuck yeah, let's do it, man.
Easy DNS, Mark and team, you guys know him, you love him. Your friendly neighborhood registrar, as he puts it. I mean, you can't beat what Easy DNS has going on. I mean, I don't know that much about like domain hosting and stuff, but all that means to me as someone who hadn't done it before and gone through the process and, you know, built a website and maintained a website, all that meant to me is that it's going to be hard. It's been anything but. We go to Mark and we have problems with the website that we want to, you know, we want to change the way something is formatted. We want to change the way something looks or feels or whatever. We go through the website and do that with him. They have everything there, Len. They got virtual private server stuff. So if you want to do Bitcoin nodes, Nostr relays, you guys hear me talk about the list every week. You can get all that stuff done there. Super easy, super cheap, super fast, and with great support. On top of that, if you want to port over a domain you already own, let's say you've been hoarding domains like many Bitcoiners are, then you can do that. Mark will help you do that. If you want to port over, I don't know, some email stuff, he'll help you do that. If you want to set up a new email thing, he'll help you do that. No matter what it is, he will help you do it. And he's helped us do it now for, I don't know how long, more than a year, I think we've been with Mark. So yeah, it's been a great relationship. And man, let me tell you, if you want to do all that stuff on the cheap, CBP Media is the code, or just tell them we sent you, go sign up. Your first round of stuff is 50% off. 50%. In this economy, Len, that's a lot of money. You got to save those coins, baby. You can't be spending money on domain names.
And what you save, you could spend a bull Bitcoin. You could start buying a little bit more Bitcoin as a result. So bull Bitcoin, you could buy on-chain. You could sell on-chain. You could buy with Lightning. You could sell with Lightning. Lots of different options. But to be honest, the fees right now are still very cheap. They're competitive. So using Lightning right now, my opinion, I wouldn't use it. I'd still use the on-chain method, but that's just my opinion. But either way, Bull has you covered. You could also pay your bills with Bitcoin. So if you have a hydro bill, phone bill, whatever the heck you want to pay, you could use that, use your Bitcoin to pay that. Also, you could use Bitcoin to buy gift cards, and you could spend that in the real world. So a lot of different options with Bull Bitcoin, and a lot of people are using it. We passed a very significant milestone with them just this week, and I'm very thankful for everybody that have used our promo code. Also, they just released something called Stack and Track, Joey. I'm not sure if you heard about this, but this is going to be a more seamless way of having money end up in your Bull Bitcoin account. By using the Stack and Track, you essentially use the pay a bill at your bank.
Exactly.
And then it just goes to your Bull Bitcoin account and goes from there. So it's going to make it much more seamless in order to have money
transferred. Less emotional, right? Less emotional.
So there's, you know, lots of different options here. You could do it easily. And if you use our promo code below, it's in the description, the show notes, and you fund your account, $21 is going to be added to your account. No questions asked. But that's after you provide the necessary information in order to get that $21.
Outstanding. I might try that out, just see how it works. I'm a big fan. I know you're not necessarily a fan of the pull relationship, because I think we've talked about this in the past. Like, you don't want to have a pull relationship with your exchange. So it is. That's what I would say. I think this actually is more of a push relationship. It maybe feels like a pull at first glance, but it's a good way to do this without having someone able to pull money from your bank account anytime, right? You set them up as a payee, and then you do it on the schedule you want. I really like this. I think I might use it. I do e-transfer anyway, honestly, but I wouldn't mind having like a steady kind of monthly dollar cost average. My dog is in here again going crazy. Anyway, Boost, shall we?
Yeah, so Doom Demazim, he sent us three times 521 sats, and each time he said the same thing: thank you for your time. Dolly, right? He says the same thing every time.
You're welcome. You're welcome for my time.
You're very welcome. Joe Ronan, 1,000 sats. He writes in, CBP, friends and enemies, sending a small boost to let you know I value your content. Every week, I look forward to your shows. Thank you for the alpha signal. And he writes, don't be a cuck. I agree. The Ruler's Broken, 1,000 sats. Thank you very much for sending the sats. I'm honored and grateful to be in a community with men like Len and Fundamentals, guys that are here to fix money, not make it. That the then they fight you stage is going to get rough, and we're lucky to have guys like this on our side, and I'm lucky to be able to call these guys friends. We got this. Absolutely, we do. We do have this. Stick with it and just continue the focus on the signal, not the noise. There's lots of noise, but there's a heck of a lot of signal too. Thank you for this, the sats. Ghost Sadrich, hope I pronounced that name correctly.
New entrant, 2100, here, I think, right?
Sadrick,
new entrant, gotta be. I haven't seen this name before. Have you?
Yeah, I've never seen it before. But anyways, 2112 sats. He says, got to watch this live. Great works. Great work, gents. And he's talking about my rip with Fundamentals. So he's
very good. That's a palindrome boost, by the way. 2112. We like those here.
It is. Yeah, I didn't even notice that. Fundamentals. He boosted 21,000 sats. Thank you very much. He's had an amazing time. Thanks, Len. It's bullish to know you. And it's a pleasure to have you on the show. Just want to note that everybody that sent in sats today and even the previous few weeks, months, I've just been sitting on this waiting to donate it to Worthy Cause. So I'm sitting on, I guess, close to 100,000 sats right now.
Nice.
Plus around 100 Canadian dollars that I'm going to send over, because somebody did us a solid not too long ago, and I'm going to do it on that person's behalf. So there's going to be, whenever we'll find a cause very soon, Joey, and then we'll just donate it all. But everybody, thank you for the boost, because we'll be donating that to a Worthy Cause.
Consider telling us the cause too. Like, if you have a cause in mind, we've done, I think over the years we've done like Madex most recently. I think we've done OpenSats. We did Wayside House. What else have we done? We've done a bunch, but there's got to be something. We gave some to Julian. That's right. Kinetic Fry. Not Julian, but Liv in the Peruvian initiative there. What other things are there? Tell us something. If you guys know something and you want to put a cause on, like
Meet Premier Bitcoin, I think we did.
We did Meet Premier Bitcoin. Yeah. Thanks to Jaime. He turned us on to that.
I don't know what I'm, can't think of anything else, but really it's just the past
Samurai legal fees I see in the chat. Yeah. I don't know. I'm not sure how much I want to wear that at the moment, but you know, there's a lot of causes out there that are not as gray. Like there's some good ones, you know, for devs and for open source. Like I think we talked about giving to Craig Raw and Sparrow once, but we didn't because maybe he doesn't take donations like that.
But that would be a HODLNOT. That's one I wanted to do.
That one we wanted to. He wouldn't take those either.
Yeah, he didn't want to.
Yeah, yeah.
So
I don't know. I guess we got to think about it. But we're always open to suggestions. So if you guys have something and you get your ear to the ground a little bit, then let's do it. Let's figure it out.
Well, let's go into the Bitcoin stories. Unless you have any last items on your checklist you want to check off.
No.
Well, you know what? See your schedule. What's going on this weekend?
Sure. Yeah. So we're gonna get there Thursday. Thursday, I probably won't do much. We're gonna go see some friends. I think
this is the Canadian Bitcoin conference for people
in Montreal. Yeah, we're gonna land there Thursday. I have three podcasts planned. I have one open slot if somebody wants to do a show, but doesn't.
What time and day are you thinking?
I'll tell you right now. So I have it in my notes app here. Let me pull it up. I offered four slots. So Friday at 2 p.m., Madex is going to come to my hotel room. Friday at 3:30, nothing right now. But I would put somebody Friday at 3:30 if you wanted to record. Saturday, David St. Ange is making his debut. And then 3:30 on Saturday after David is Carlo Campisi of ShakePay with the professor from U of T who's done the psychology stuff to do with Bitcoin. He'll be on stage with Carlo actually. So I'm gonna press Carlo a little bit on this ShakePay policy thing because obviously he's a friend of ours. Like we know him and I like Carlo a lot and I know he'll be a good sport, but I'd be curious to hear what he thinks about some of the stuff that's been going on with Canadian policy.
There you go.
Yeah. Friday night is the plate licking party as well. So people in the chat asking about that, just hit plate licker. I see Grace too in the chat. Grace too. I still want to know how you knew my wife was pregnant. I got to find that out. I got to find out who you are. I might put a bounty on it actually. So that party is in the evening. So you do have time. I know like plate probably did this on purpose. You do have time. If you want to go for dinner somewhere or you want to see the city a little bit, lots of time. I think his jam starts at like 8 o'clock. At a pub on St. Paul Street, I believe. So yeah. And that's, you know, downtown Montreal too, for people who haven't been, it's a lot of fun. There's a lot of different spots you can go to. And, if you don't want the party to stop at 2 o'clock, let me know. And I'll make a couple of recommendations for you. And who knows, maybe I'll turn it up to 11, on Friday night or Saturday night. If the mood, you know, hits me. So anyway, looking forward to seeing all you guys, man. It's going to be a lot of fun. Montreal's a great city. I'm really excited for the conference. And I'm on the panel. I'm on a panel Friday at 12:30 with Madex and Francis on the main stage, which is going to be awesome. Those guys are fucking animals. So that's going to be great. I might not say anything the whole time, but I'm going to be up there. You know, that's fine.
Try not to get us canceled.
Yeah, no problem. No problem. I'm looking forward to it. They're great.
Anything else you want to?
No, we're good. That's it. That's it.
All right. So we'll go right to the Bitcoin stuff. There's actually quite a few things I want to talk about today.
Big week.
A 2-hour show for much to your chagrin, Joey. But the question I really want to ask is how early are we, Joey? And, you know, the question comes up so often because I think about it. What is left in terms of the amount of capital that's going to flow into Bitcoin? How many more people still have to fucking get it? And the answer hit me this past week, how early we fucking are, is because if you look at the graduates of Ohio State University.
They're not graduates. That's commencement speech. My bad.
Either way, it's just, it goes to show you that the people over there, they just don't fucking understand Bitcoin. And they do not understand the potential over here that can be used to lock away wealth and secure it in a way that won't be debased in the future, like Fiat does and so many other things do. But anyways, this speaker, Chris Pan is his name. He is a social entrepreneur and a self-described Bitcoin advocate. I've never heard of Chris Pan before.
He's not our best guy.
Greatest orator. But anyways, he was doing his level best, and I got to give him kudos for that. But he was on hand at Ohio State, and he was giving a speech over there. And this is according to Normie News that the speech veered off course. And typically these speeches, you know, they're about there trying to give some advice about the road ahead and all this shit. But he decided to go deep into Bitcoin and the potential that Bitcoin has as a financial tool and, you know, the potential wealth that you could unlock by using it. And, you know, there's a bunch of people over there. Let's be honest. They're probably going to be students in the future. They're going to have their loans forgiven. So they truly don't understand what the fuck's going on. But as soon as he started talking about Bitcoin and the role in combating inflation, the crowd erupted in boos. I don't understand. You know, like, give this guy a chance. Listen to what the message is. Read about it and fucking make a decision. But clearly there's a lot of people over there that just do not fucking understand. So all this goes to show, at least me, we are fucking early. And that is part of the we are not going to make a crowd. That's fucking guaranteed, Joy.
Okay, did you listen to the whole speech?
I listened to some of it. He was talking about that there was hacks and shit like that. And
not the whole Bitcoin speech.
Oh,
the
no, I didn't.
Okay, so I'll tell you. Len, he could have said, when he got to the Bitcoin part, he honestly could have said that everyone was going to walk out of there with a Porsche, an iPad, and a gold bar, and they still would have booed him. Because the speech was so bad to that point that no matter what he said, he'd already lost the crowd. He was up there talking about a breakup, talking about, like, it was like a stand-up routine gone bad. So I think the guy was right about the Bitcoin. I'm with you. You shouldn't be booing when Bitcoin gets brought up. You should be cheering people, especially that age. Like, I'm sure they all get it. But they probably are just like, enough of this clown. Get this guy off the stage. I can't listen to this guy anymore. I've had enough. Plus, it's probably pretty hot that day. It looks like it was pretty warm all outside, obviously. So, yeah, I don't know. Like, to me, good story. Fun clip there of the booze erupting. But I think I blame the rest of the speech more than I blame the Bitcoin part.
Who's the speechwriter? Clearly, it's not the people that you interviewed some time ago.
David Bailey did not write that speech.
I don't want to say the name because, you know, I can still smell the sulfur in the air when he was on our show. Anyways, last story I said we're so fucking nerdy, but this one may show that maybe we're not so fucking nerdy after all. Because Walmart Marketplace, I'm not sure if you saw that, this is an online marketplace that's operated by Walmart, similar to Amazon Marketplace or eBay. Mm-hmm. And this allows third-party sellers to list their products on Walmart's website. That's going to be alongside Walmart's own inventory. And obviously, this gives access to a whole bunch of Walmart customers and so forth. So there's a lot of advantages from getting listed here. But some people on Twitter were quick to point out that you could buy ASICs now from the Walmart Marketplace, which is really cool. The price might be a little high. I saw an 86 terahash S19. That is on sale for $619. Remember, that's US dollars. And we had the halving just, last month. And also a BitAxe is on there for $219. I think that's a little pricey. That's
way more than what they sell for at Decentral, I'm pretty sure.
Is it? Yeah. I thought it was maybe almost 2.5 times the price. But again, I could be wrong.
Yeah.
So, but the fact that it's on there, Walmart is allowing this to be sold. They have every opportunity to say, no, let's stop this. This is against our terms and conditions. We don't like Bitcoin, all that shit. But no, they're not doing that. They're allowing fucking sellers to sell ASICs on their marketplace. So I look at that. That's rather encouraging. So maybe we're not truly that early after all. We're actually, there's some catching up that people are doing right now. We're just watching this thing move right in front of our own eyes. So yeah, I like this story. It's rather, a lot of people might just say it's rather nothing in the grand scheme of things, but I think there's something here. And I like the fact that Walmart has not shunned this. They didn't embrace it. They're just leaving it be. And that's the way it should be done.
Well, let's see how many units they sell, right? Walmart is in the business of making money. We know this. They're maybe the most successful retail chain of all time. You could say it's Amazon. You could say it's, maybe a handful of other stores could be mentioned in that same discussion, but I think they're up there for sure. To your point, they left it alone. I would say they're waiting to see how much money can be made off selling these things. Is there a market for these? The BitAxe is a great example, right? Like, I know we have talked about the BitAxe before because they've been on the show. Same with Decentral. And if you look at some of these options, like, are you going to like hit a block? No, the odds are astronomically low, but you are helping to secure the network. You're learning a bit about mining and you're doing it for a lot less and in a fashion that's a lot more family friendly, let's say, based on the noise level, than you would be for buying an S19 or an S21 Ultra or whatever, right? Like, or S19, S21 Ultra? No, that can't be. Is that the name?
No, I think it's just a standard S21. No, there is a higher end. Like, there's a second model that was released in S21.
I can't remember what it is. It doesn't matter. But you know what I'm saying. And like, I look at these things, the retail facing products, and isn't it all sort of in the same vein as like the top of the funnel stuff, Len? You want to try Bitcoin mining. You want to look at some of this stuff. You just bought some Bitcoin. Maybe you want to grab a little bit of hardware. They look super cool. A lot of people hunt for gadgets online that look neat, in the background of a video or whatever, right? Speaking of which, my block clock is off. I must set a power outage here. Anyway, so I think this is great. If they if they take the stuff down without making a statement, then I would guess that it's just because it wasn't making money. If they make a statement and, you know, are getting on their soapbox about how it's bad for the environment or supports terrorism or whatever other nonsense they come up with, then we'll know that, you know, there was a higher up meeting, which again, Len, you can make the case. That's good news for Bitcoin too, right? The Walmart C-suite talking about whether or not they should have BitAxe products and S19s on their shelves, quote unquote shelves, along with their other stuff. So it's all good, man. I like it. I like it a lot.
And we know those fucking CEOs and other executives, they probably have some miner in their fucking massive garage. Come on. They fucking understand economics as well as anybody. For sure, they're doing something. They have some exposure to Bitcoin. Maybe they're not mining, but fuck, there's no way these people don't have exposure to Bitcoin. Look, fucking today we heard about Bank of Montreal, I think it was, BMO, they announced on their reporting that they
we talked about these 13Fs, right? You and me talked about the 13Fs months ago, beginning of the quarter, they're going to come.
Yeah. You've been on this and you were saying that it's going to be interesting to see once they get released and the information is known that they have exposure into Bitcoin through the ETFs. And now we have Bank of Montreal that has that. I mean, I think it's rather funny now. On a flip side, if you're a Bitcoin related business and try getting an account with Bank of Montreal, they'll tell you to go.
Could we do it right now, you think, or no?
No,
it's not worth trying, but like, I wonder if they would take us now, given that they're holding this ETF.
No. Huh. They want exposure. They want number go up. They want to be protected from themselves. They just don't want customers that deal with it. I mean, that's just my opinion. I mean, based on the way that we were treated, but it sucks. But either way, I want to talk about El Salvador really quickly. Just a very brief tidbit I had here. But
one other bank that declared they held the ETF, by the way, UBS, huge Swiss bank. So yeah,
there's going to be so many more.
They're going to keep coming. They have till the end of the quarter, so lots of time. But there's going to be more.
And I think I've mentioned last week or 2 weeks ago that there were several smaller U.S. banks.
Yeah.
Announced or released information to show that they have exposure. So yeah, it's not going to be uncommon for any fucking anything out there to have some exposure to Bitcoin through an ETF. It's too bad it's through an ETF, but. It's a topic for another time. El Salvador, they have a new website. I'm not sure if you saw this news or even went to their website, but it shows off their Bitcoin reserves. And the address is bitcoin.gob.sv. So if you go to that, it kind of mimics
bitcoin.gob.sv.
Yeah. It kind of mimics the...
I don't see it. It doesn't come up.
Oh, really? I'll put it in the chat. Maybe... You can just copy and paste that guy. And it kind of looks like mempool.
Uh-huh.
Yeah, it's working for me. And it shows you, if you go to the balance history, you can see like per day how much Bitcoin they have. They've been stacking one Bitcoin per day. They continually do this for how long, I don't fucking know. But given today's price, it looks like they have about $360 million worth of Bitcoin in the reserves. So this is like a really cool initiative on their part. Remember, they... repatriated their Bitcoin. It was, I guess, held by Coinbase or who the fuck held it. It wasn't El Salvador, but they managed to set up their own in-house, reliable,
and they could keep everything. So good. This looks
so good. It does, doesn't it?
Yeah.
And so it goes to show you, like, they like Bitcoin. They want to talk about Bitcoin. They want to showcase it as much as possible. But not only that, they're still buying one Bitcoin a day. That's I don't know how they're getting this cash, but they're doing it. And I don't know. There's nothing else I have to say about this, but it's a really cool initiative. And it's going to be inevitable. There's going to be a copy and paste type thing in the future where another country follows exactly what El Salvador has done. Is it a raging success? I would say, if anything, it's closer to a raging success than being neutral.
For sure.
In my opinion. It's definitely not a failure. But
no. You can't make that. I was trying to make that case for the first 6 or 8 months of this, you know, initiative. And
price has gone up tremendously, though. Since
they've crushed the bond market has responded, you know, sort of global media coverage has responded. So they have about $360 million worth of Bitcoin. Not bad. 5,750 almost Bitcoin, which is fantastic. This is a great, I mean, you can't argue with the results, right? That's what we're about in Bitcoin. Tell me what you're doing and show me your wins. And this is clearly a win for them. So I'm not surprised to see this website pop up and be a you know, something people visit. As far as other countries mimicking the playbook, some talk today about Japan maybe doing it. I have to look into that. I have to look into that a bit. Dylan LeClaire put out a tweet. I don't know if he wrote the text attached or not, but basically outlining how Japan could do a speculative attack and buy Bitcoin. I have to look at it. I could be completely wrong. I just kind of, you know, if I'm being honest, I was like, you know, pinching a loaf and saw it. So, but like, if that's the case, again, we've talked about this before. Everyone can see what's happening. I think the only thing people really disagree on is the speed at which fiat is headed to zero and how that road looks. You know, what is the line from here to fiat zero look like? Can I cash in, or, you know, can I, if I'm at the trough during that session, can I really get rich and get fat on this, you know, feather my nest? Those are the only, people only disagree about the details. They don't disagree about the outcome, I don't think. And to see Japan, who already, by the way, is like very much involved in their currency in a way that no other country is involved in their currency. No other country has ever been involved in their currency. I wouldn't put it past them. They don't have any reason not to buy some Bitcoin. Don't forget, you know, central banks buy gold all the time. You know, they're buying it with their own currency. So it's not like they don't carry out speculative attacks already. We just don't call it that. We, you know, you got these old heads on FinTwit saying, oh, they're buying to counteract inflation, or they want some sound money in the treasury or whatever. At some point, they're going to start doing this with Bitcoin if they haven't already. And It's not going to be anything new, because the program exists already for gold. It's just a matter of where you think the sound money is. And we think that this is going to happen over the next, you know, 5, 10, 12 years. I don't know, something like that. But it's going to happen. It's going to happen.
And like you mentioned, it may have already been taking place, because there are a number of countries out there that are not forthcoming with information with either their citizens or even on a global scale. So whatever they do, they could do in secrecy almost. Mm-hmm. And yeah. So if they are buying, they don't have to disclose that. And if, you know, since Bitcoin, unless you identify who it is that's buying and you tie to an address that's tied to your name, you have no clue.
Yeah.
Who's buying it and where it's being stored, you can find, have an idea. But really, like, anybody could be doing this. Any country could be doing this, and we just have no clue. Who was it? We talked about, was it Nepal?
Yeah, I think
Bhutan.
So.
No, Bhutan.
The Kingdom of Bhutan.
Yeah, so they're mining Bitcoin, and they're going to be adding it to the reserves. So there's countries out there that are doing it, and they announced that. But, you know, how many other countries don't need to do that? I wonder.
What is the regulation around that? I mean, the ideal situation for those countries who buy would be to not announce, right? It wouldn't be like, how do we announce, or how do we share this news? Do we share it in part? You know, the ideal situation would be you wouldn't announce, because especially if you're a bigger country, like let's say you're a G20 or, you know, you're a top 50 economy even, and you start buying Bitcoin, like, you'll move the price, and you don't want to move the price if you're acquiring. So I we've talked about game theory so many times on this show, and everyone talks about this on Twitter. There's, you know, a space about this every day, it feels like. But the idea that a country will buy in size and you will know about it is like the likelihood is zero, basically. You know, short of chain analysis and people looking at, wow, these addresses are buying in size every day. We don't know who this person is. Like, maybe it's a country, but you don't know, you know, and they're trying to make sure you don't know, because that's the kind of thing that can, you know, the pieces on the board move when something like that gets announced or uncovered or unveiled, and they don't want that. And it makes executing the strategy more difficult for sure. So anyway, that's all I'll say about that.
If they hide it, they don't have to announce it until they're forced to. Doing that, that way,
until Joe Biden says that capital gains unrealized capital gains that you accrued in Nepal are now taxable in the U.S., then they'll have to
announce. Then you're forced.
Then one of those, you know, 6,000 new IRS agents with guns will just come over on a boat, start shooting the place up.
It's, I mean, a landlocked country.
Crazy, right? Like, these people are all, anyway, whatever, insane.
So yeah, no, if they are buying even small amounts, like comparatively to their GDP, for instance, it's going to be easier to hide. Yeah. And if things go poorly because they didn't announce, they can just, you know, kind of just sweep it under the rug. But if things go really well, the price of Bitcoin goes astronomical, then they can say, yeah, we've been buying, and look at us, we made a great move. So it's just, you know, I would just imagine that is being done right now in a few countries. But
Boomer in the chat saying the Middle East, right? Forget gold, Habibi, buy Bitcoin. Maybe that's you know,
both. Yeah, they have stuff that they could trade.
They got yellow gold, they got black gold. Pretty soon, they'll have digital gold too. And not that wouldn't surprise me at all.
But one place I don't think they're buying it is in Vancouver, because this guy named Mike Kitt, he was showing off this new KYC-free option available for Canadians, because what he's done is, he did this on Twitter, Mike Kitt did, it's what he calls Canada's first Bitcoin ATM, which uses Lightning. Mm-hmm. So you could use Lightning to buy your Bitcoin. And from what I believe, this is KYC-free based on the video that he posted, because he wasn't asking for his information aside from the QR code for his Lightning wallet. Anyways, 2% fees on Lightning transactions up until May 31st. I don't know if there's any on-chain transactions allowed for this, from what I could tell, but there is Lightning, so it is there. And this is located for people out there. I'd love to hear your experience with this. So anybody in the Vancouver area, check it out. It's called Time Out Cafe in Vancouver, 1150 Melville Street. If you could go there, I'd love to hear how this thing works. And it just sounds like a really cool idea. Heard this guy's through the grapevine. This is just alleged. This is a shitcoiner, but I can't confirm it. So I'll just leave it at that.
There's for sure people listening to the show who are from Vancouver that we've spoken to. So who do we talk to? Yeah, Boomer in the chat. Let's get Mike Campbell out there to test it out. Mike Campbell does live in the Vancouver area. I won't say where, but yeah, it's isn't that cool? Like, this stuff is popping up more and more. And again, I don't know if I'm in like the ossify now camp for Bitcoin, but you got to think that, like I've said many times, the other side of the equation is just going to keep pushing people to our side. And whether it's printing or policy or whatever, the likelihood that people just ignore Bitcoin for another year or 2 years, it's just not very high. It's just not very high, you know. It's and so more of these things popping up there, and you put the address in the chat for people. Time Out Cafe, go test it. Let us know how it is. I want to know how it works too.
Yeah, Paulie said he's in the Vancouver area, so that's why I'm just posting it there. If
get in there, check Paulie. It out. Get in there.
May 31st, it's going to be 2% fees, so it's reasonable. I think it's KYC free, so don't.
Even if it's not, it's still cool.
Yeah. I totally agree, but I just don't want people to go there and say, yeah, Len said it was KYC free. So, and they're just expecting that. I believe it is. I'm just going based on the video I've seen. So let's check it out. I'd just love to get some feedback on this to see what it's like. And yeah, let's build this thing out. Let's make a lot more options available for people. This is really cool stuff. Bitcoin halving. We had that, what, a month ago? Less than a month ago? I can't even remember.
April 19th. So more than a month, but not by much.
No, less. It's the 13th today. Man, it seems.
Yeah, less than a month. Sorry, yeah, but not by much.
Seemed like much longer ago. Anyways, we're getting some reactions from miners out there. So people mining Bitcoin, they're finding that it's getting too difficult. And the mining difficulty as a result dropped this past week 5.62%. And this is the largest drop we experienced this year. So it goes to show you that since the halving, there seems to be a lot of equipment that is coming offline. In fact, it's being reported on Twitter that the overall hash rate for Bitcoin is down 35% from the peak earlier this year. And from what I could tell, the same thing transpired back in May 2020, mm-hmm. when the hash rate dropped after the 2020 halving. There was the drop in the hash rate because the halving took place. But either way, there's other variables that took place in May 2020. Remember, we had the closure of the economy, supply chain issues, that, right?
Yeah.
Those 2020 numbers, you could digest them, but take them with a grain of salt. But what we're experiencing now is that miners, they'll have to continually upgrade their equipment, their suite of machines, in order to maintain profitability. Or at least get close to profitability. Not only that, they have to seek out even cheaper electricity costs if that's an availability for them. So it's obviously getting more challenging for miners. The transaction fees are low, very low right now. So they're relying just on the 3.12, whatever the heck it is, Bitcoin mm-hmm. every 10 minutes. Not much in the grand scheme of things. So miners, they're going to be suffering a lot of hardship in the next little while. The ones that are positioned right, they're the ones that are going to obviously be doing well. The ones that were on the fringe before, they're fucked moving forward. Absolutely fucked. And I guess they were banking on the price of Bitcoin to 2x, 3x, or whatever. It hasn't. It's just been pretty steady for the past month or so, month and a half. But either way, it just goes to show you that there's a lot of equipment being unplugged. And yeah, that's just a nature of what happens after halving.
I don't know if the TradingView hash rate chart is accurate, but it's from Into the Block, so it must be accurate. This recent drop, like if I look at the sort of recent ups and downs of hash rate, which by the way, you would expect, hash rate should oscillate like this and not just go up in a straight line. But this is not even that big a drop. Like if I look back at Thursday, the 11th of January this year, hash rate was 633 mega something. No,
actually, hash per second.
Yeah, it's got to be. It's got M here as the measurement, but it can't be M. Anyway, so unless it's, well, whatever it is, anyway, 633 exahash, let's say. And by the 15th, the Monday, it was down at 420 exahash. So, like, when I look at this, what do I see? I see huge drops all along the way here. You mentioned one in April 2020. There's been others that are, you know, more significant than the one we're seeing now from the all-time high. Are people worried about this? I haven't seen any, like, one of the things I've noticed in the last little while, when I watch traditional financial news or like read traditional financial news, all the people who are coming into Bitcoin for the first time, they're getting the same question, right? What will make you think that Bitcoin is not like, it's not going to work? And everyone's the same thing, you know, less wallets, less hash rate. Those are the two indicators I hear the most often. But to me, like, I think you expect less hash rate around a halving. And so I'm now waiting to see these articles from traditional financial outlets say, look, hash rate's falling, Bitcoin's failing, the SEC governance is causing problems, people's confidence is wavering, everyone's conviction is waning now, thanks to, you know, Gary and the boys, Elizabeth Warren, anti-crypto, whatever, right? But I haven't seen it. So maybe it's just in the tank, maybe it's in the queue, it's in the hopper for a lot of these publications, but to me, Len, like, I mean, you're not worried about this. I'm not worried about this, but it does provide a little bit of fodder for TradFi publications to say, look, Bitcoin's not working, blah, blah, blah. But anyone who can look at a chart and, you know, again, like if you look at this chart just directionally, I mean, it's like about as up and to the right as you're going to get. If you just take the moving average line instead of the, you know, weekly data points, it's pretty good. You like the way this chart looks.
I'm not at all concerned about this. Let's be honest, I don't think I predicted this, but now after seeing what happened after the halving, I'm not shocked by the reality of the hash rate going down a little bit since the peak in April.
Not that big a deal, you know, like,
no, it really isn't. And even if it goes down significantly, it's still
you selling. I'm gonna come here on Monday night one night and you're not gonna show up for the other panel. Just me, only me. I'll throw Moose in the chair. I'll run a second camera.
Do you want to do that one? Do you want to do the dog in replace?
If you put your dog over on your panel, I'll put my dog over in my panel.
She'll bark like crazy. She's an absolute annoying. Anyways, Argentina. You know, we don't talk too much about Argentina.
Only bad stuff.
No. We don't talk about it. I don't know. Mele, I'm going to tangent here. How many people in Bitcoin Twitter absolutely, like, he adored him?
Oh, everybody. They deified him. Everybody did. Yeah. How's that going so far? I would say right about now, don't you? If you didn't feel like a fucking moron when they let him speak at Davos, then you sure as shit should feel like a fucking moron by now. Because if he was really upending the system, he wouldn't be, you know, shoulder to shoulder with Bill Gates and the boys trying to solve all the world's problems that no one's asking for a solution to.
That's a good point. Like, why would they give him a panel to just trash everything? I don't know. That's a question I asked immediately afterwards. But then again, somebody said because he's part of the G20 countries, having him be excluded would show some, you know, it would be a sign of weakness. So yeah, they were forced to. I don't know if that's true or not, but either way, Argentina.
Yeah, go ahead.
They're teaming up with Genesis Digital Assets. And they're going to be doing this for mining Bitcoin in Argentina. And this is all according to a Forbes article. And they're going to be mining for Bitcoin using stranded gas. Mm. And this is one of the greatest arguments I have in favor of Bitcoin mining, using up stranded energy and using that and monetizing the fuck out of it. right? Like, it just makes so much sense. So Genesis Digital Assets, they're teaming up with a subsidiary of the largest electric company from Argentina to make this all happen. So they're teaming up with, you know, a big boy in that field. This is going to be at the Bajo del Toro
Thermal. Did you just roll that R?
Toro, yeah.
It's, wow.
Yeah.
Keep it PG here. People getting fired up here hearing you roll the R's. Chat's, oh my goodness. Oh my goodness.
This is the thermal power plant, and they will power 1,200 ASICs to monetize the stranded gas that would otherwise be flared into the atmosphere. So not like they were even doing, you know, using it in any way. They were just simply fucking just flaring it. That's good that they're doing this. Anyways, I did the quick Len math here. I could be wrong, but I think 1,200 Bitcoin mining machines equates to 0.1 exahash per second. If we're talking about the 100 terahash S19, I could be wrong, but correct me if I am. Anyways, Argentina looking to monetize their stranded gas, and they're using GDA as a way to do this. Argentina has been mining for Bitcoin on a much smaller scale up until now, but it looks like they're opening doors to do it on a bigger scale. So I like this, but given what's going on over there, I'm wondering how much longer before this gets nationalized. And I don't know, it just seems to be like a very touchy situation which is going on in Argentina, but I could be wrong.
Those are Davos coins, buddy. they're not long for this world. I don't trust anything about that guy. You can't trust anybody with a wig that bad, honestly, who's not named Paul Stanley. If your name's not Paul Stanley, I don't expect to see you on stage in a wig that bad. But you know, otherwise you got something not right. You know, the internal machinery is not functioning properly on that fella. And what again, it's a wig for Len. Is it a wig? Oh my God. Are you kidding? Conservatives need to figure out, okay, as much as I like Trump and this guy's funny at the very least, like
little Boris Johnson,
like enough with the hair. Like, can we not get somebody with a decent fucking haircut? Come on. What are we doing? We had Pence, right? Pence was like a Republican VP, you know, Rhino, it turned out, I guess, depending on who you ask, but.
So there's no Gavin Newsom equivalent on the right side.
God, used car salesman, physiognomy. Yeah. Not good. You know, I don't like that guy. I don't like anything about this Milei guy either, honestly. And I think a lot of people were quick to worship at the altar of this fellow because he had that whiteboard video of him ripping, you know, useless government departments off the
Afuera.
Wall.
Afuera.
They are useless, right? Afuera is the right response, but you haven't been doing a lot of other stuff that gives me a lot of comfort. Because I think he also, if I remember correctly, he was part of some controversial legislative change like a month ago. I don't remember now, but anyway, I don't follow a lot of Argentina stuff, but it's just like, man, how many times, Len, do people have to get burned by politicians? How many more times can we go through this? Eric Adams truly like the worst of the worst of like people who try to take a paycheck in Bitcoin. Suarez is bad, but Adams is way worse. Adams now taking trips to Italy to loot the New York Treasury so you can find out. He's like talking about solving global problems. Does Italy have drug addicted vagrants shitting on themselves and pushing people onto subway tracks? Is that the problem you're trying to solve? No, because
they have a big problem with I don't want to get into it, but
they have an immigration issue over there. Yeah, I know, big time.
Not good. And
it's almost like I'll get into it, you know, whatever, I'll say it. I think people are starting to realize all over the world that the immigration policies are not sustainable. And this is, I think it's becoming a Bitcoin adjacent story because these things keep those policies keep wages low intentionally or otherwise. They prevent people from getting jobs intentionally or otherwise. And they drive GDP, which is a fake metric that's made up. So the people who claim to be data driven can say that they looked at the data before they, you know, bought or sold the stock for you and took 2% on the in and 10% on the back end. Like, it's all just fake and made up. And these policies now, whether we like it or not, and this is not an immigration story, but immigration among other policies are Bitcoin adjacent now. Trump is on, you know, TV talking about how he loves crypto. I don't think he knows anything about Bitcoin or crypto, quite honestly. But the fact that someone in his circle had him say it at a press gathering tells me something. You know, these guys are thinking about this. Yeah, but whatever. He's thinking about it is the point, right? Here's the question, Len. If Trump says, If Biden gets on stage and says, we're going to tax on unrealized gains on Bitcoin, Trump gets on stage and says, I won't do it, and I'm going to sell NFTs, who are you voting for? Of course you're going to vote for the guy that says he's going to not charge you on unrealized capital gains. No one gives a fuck if he's selling NFTs. I'm not going to buy them. You're not going to buy them. I care about the policy position. And so even these guys who don't know anything, as long as they're saying the right things, they have people in their circle who understand, it seems like he does. Great. On the Biden side of things, he's got like Liz Warren, right? On this war path against Bitcoin. Gensler, same thing. This is becoming a political animal. We went through this phase where macro conditions didn't affect us. Now we are the macro condition, right? People speculating that the price of Bitcoin is stopping rate hikes, rate cuts. Maybe not, but it's not out of the question. Now we're going to go through this phase where we're not political, and suddenly, bang, you're being discussed at a presidential debate or a vice presidential debate in maybe the most important election of the last 20 years.
It's causing all kinds of issues.
It's causing problems for everybody.
Solar flares as a result of Bitcoin.
100%. Everyone knows that. Israel-Palestine, Bitcoin's fault, 100%. We got all these problems. According to some people, this is all Bitcoin's, you know, problem. Mm-hmm. And like the idea that it's not going to be political, I think that ship has sailed. And anyway, this is a melee story. I don't know how the hell we got here, but
no, you were talking about Eric Adams, and then so Eric
worst
Adams,
ever politician who claimed to take Bitcoin. Yeah.
So you were saying Eric Adams, you ranked him as, you know, pretty low on your totem pole. I would even argue there's somebody out there maybe challenging him for.
Oh fuck! Here we go.
Number one. Who? I don't know his name, but the guy from Central African Republic. Right? Let's be honest. The dude,
I don't know who that guy
is. He's nameless. He's fucking
They're on
nameless.
The gold machine gun index over there, man. Like, of course care. That guy's making shit up.
But the fact that they said they're going to take Bitcoin as legal tender, and then a few weeks, maybe a month or two later, turned around and said, nah, it's not going to happen. But we have this shitcoin, this Sango coin we're going to be releasing. It's like, he basically went 100% shitcoin. Suarez at least did 90% shitcoin. This guy did 100% shitcoin. So that I got to say, that guy was even worse. It was basically a bait and switch type thing. He got some publicity and people were like, yeah, Central African Republic is the second country in the world that's accepting Bitcoin. And it's like, no, not going to happen. So, you know what? Maybe that person is, you know, worse than Eric Adams.
He's up there. He's up there or down there, depending on how you want to think about it.
So anyway, nameless and faceless, I don't know who the heck that person is, but he is. Binance, let's talk about them. Got a few minutes left. They're being fined in Canada. And the financial regulator, FinTrack, we talked a few times about FinTrack back through the archives. But anyways, they fined Binance a total of $4.3 million US, or around $6 million-ish Canadian, for failing to register as a foreign money services business. Also, they neglected to report nearly 6,000 transactions over $10,000. So this is a huge no-no, the second part. And because any transaction that exceeds over $10,000 in value requires some special type of reporting. And I think that this all has to do with some sort of money laundering and shit like that, but I'm not 100% sure. But either way, if you look at the fine, this I find rather interesting. The fine of 4.3 million US. Remember, the U.S. imposed a fine of $4.3 billion. It's exactly, you know, there's a connection here. So if you look at the numbers, it seems rather funny. But either way, FinTrack noted between June 1st, 2021 and July 19th, 2023, so a little bit over 2 year period of time, Binance did not comply with the laws by reporting 5,900 transactions that were bigger than $10,000. And this, they needed to do the know your customer shit in order to appease regulators. So they didn't do that, but I just have to say one thing. If you were a Binance customer during that time and you did one of these larger transactions and you kind of went under the radar, you might be fucked moving forward if they find out who you are. Because if Binance is able to figure this out and they provide this information to FinTrack, and FinTrack, they want to get their slice of the pie, or at least Canada or CRA wants it, be very careful. I'm just saying right now, you could get fucked. So yeah, that's just my Binance story of the day.
Assuming that you are hiding your transactions when they are done with a service that is not like an ATM or something, is like you got a death wish. You're going to get found out, because these guys, at the end of the day, they may talk a good game, but they don't want any trouble, and they'll pay the $4 million. They'll give up the data. They'll pay the $4 billion, but he'll go to jail for, you know, 6 months or whatever. to me, it's like, it's just insane that people think Binance. And like, we have friends, you and I, who are like trading like Pepe and all this other nonsense on all these different platforms, thinking it's going to be just like tax-free money. You are dreaming. And it's not about whether or not you just pay the 30%, you know, capital gain, or 50% capital gain, depending on where you land, I guess, if you really crush it. The problem is, once the door is open to auditing you, it never closes. Like, you're going to have problems the rest of your life if you go down this road. Do not do it. Pay your taxes. Don't try and obfuscate. Do the right thing as far as policy and laws are concerned. You'll be much happier in the long run than if you do the than if you do the opposite.
So Boomdust is saying that they're probably going after sells, not buys. But I will also say probably even trades. So if you're buying, say, $11,000 worth of Bitcoin, maybe they won't go after you. But if you bought that Bitcoin, then traded it for ETH and traded it for USDC and then traded it for whatever, and you kept trading, and the value of each trade was over the $10,000 threshold, if you haven't reported that, Binance, if they could get that information and report it for you, like Joey said, if they wanted to, and if they, you know,
it's a no-brainer. They're going to do it. Like, of course, right, they're going to do it. Yeah.
So this could be very challenging for a lot of people out there that tried to skirt the system, and they're going to realize that the long arm of the law will fuck them hard.
Like, do you really think, if I think about Canada, do you really think that there's an attempt to tax, like, the capital gains thing? I tweeted this like a month ago when it came out. The capital gains thing is meant to grab the real estate transfer between boomers and their kids on death, on gifting, on whatever. And if you think that the policy position is, like, if you think that they're going to take that policy position and all the attacks that come with it, all the malcontent that comes with it, and then they're not going to follow up on your Binance history, like, you're dumb. You're just dumb. Of course they're going to. And they're going to do it happily. And how many times have we said this, Lennon? I remember Preston Byrne said this on our show too. And he said on Twitter, many people have, the wheels of these big organizations turn slowly, but they grind everything to dust given enough time. You will wind up on the floor with those gears if you go this route, with the shit coins, with the tax evasion. You will get got. Guaranteed 100%. Everybody does. That's the way this is going to work. There's never been a time where government's been more starved for money and more willing to make an example out of someone who's evading taxes. Crypto, Bitcoin, whatever, is the perfect potion for popularity. You are a target. Don't make yourself a bigger one.
It's low-hanging fruit. You're pissing off who? People that probably aren't, you know,
They want your fucking money. They're pushing shopping carts around downtown, for fuck's sake. And you're walking around a millionaire thanks to Pepe Coin. You're going to pay your fair share because you can be on the news, and they'll garner support with your good name. For sure. For sure.
Let's do one last story. We're up against the hour mark. Metaplanet. Remember these guys? Do you remember them? The Web3 company.
They wanted to buy some Bitcoin or something.
They did buy some Bitcoin not too long ago. In fact, I said at the time, let's not even commit their name to memory because we'll probably not talk
about it. I didn't. I took the advice.
Well, you know what? I was wrong. I stand corrected because they bought some more Bitcoin this past month, I guess. So they scooped up another 20 Bitcoin, they said, and that's worth around 200 million yen.
Nice.
That was as of May 10th. The yen has gone down. It's now 156. So it's getting, you know, it's a sliding scale where it's getting worse by the day. But either way, Metaplanet now holds around 117, almost 118 Bitcoin on their balance sheet. And in terms of their market cap, that equates to about 33% of their overall market cap. So it's not like that other company out there we talked about. Remember, I forget the name of it, but it was
gold mining company.
Yes.
Is Metaplanet trading below NAV? Like, what's the company worth?
I have no idea. But Neelam Industries, I think, is the name. Or Neelam Resources. My mistake. Yeah, was the name of it. It's a Canadian company, by the way. Either way. Metaplanet, so they bought some more Bitcoin. They're doing the MicroStrategy approach. But not only that, they also released a white paper on their corporate strategy with respect to holding Bitcoin.
Great.
So they're out there. They're talking up a good game in terms of what they are going to be doing, what's their ideas, and how they perceive Bitcoin. So yeah, this seems to be spreading, albeit rather slow, but you know, the other side of the planet, we have one more company out there that's buying Bitcoin. It's not just the CBP and MicroStrategy. It's now Metaplanet as well. So cool stuff.
Just looking at this white paper here. He's saying all the right things. Simon Gerovich. Oh, Dylan LeClaire also wrote this. Interesting. Yeah, okay.
It must director. Have been translated.
Dylan though. LeClaire is the director of Bitcoin strategy for Metaplanet. Yeah, this is good. This is good. Highly recommend it. Yeah, of course it's translated, but still.
Yeah, every time I hear Dylan LeClaire, it reminds me of Predator.
What was the other guy's name? The other Zoomer kid with the broccoli haircut. I can't remember his name. Dylan was one. Who was the other one? Someone in the Clement? Chat will know. Clement. Will Clemente. That's right. Yeah, yeah, yeah. What are those kids?
He came all of a sudden, eh? He
was. I mean, all these guys just came out of nowhere in 2020. Like they're all bored at home smoking bowls. Then they
Clemente, you know, or Clemente. I forget is how to pronounce his name. He was one of Pomp's boys. So Pomp boosted him up.
Pomp put him on. Yeah, yeah.
Yeah,
so I'm surprised you didn't. I'm surprised you're not saying that Will Clemente was a NHL 98 broadcaster, I think, in that version of the game for N64.
Was he?
Will Clemente here for, he was on the ESPN pregame show.
I didn't play the PC games too much, so.
No? I was on N64. I didn't have a PC for games then either, but anyway, story for another time. It's interesting though, like you talk about us getting this wrong. I thought that was going to be for sure a fly-by-night buy, but here they are again stacking up and now releasing a strategy. Square, or Block, I should say, also released an open source strategy for corporate Bitcoin balance sheet work. I haven't read it yet, but the whole strategy that they're using, this like DCA thing, holding it, it's all, they're open sourcing all of it so anyone can follow it, which is really good.
We should do our own because the CBP have been actively stacking Bitcoin.
Here's what we do. Every month we buy Bitcoin and that's all. That's it. That's the end of the,
Easy. And if you want our Bitcoin, you go fuck right off. It's our Bitcoin.
That's it. That's the second page of the white paper.
No ETF. We get the actual thing. We put it.
We don't hold ETFs over here. No, we don't do that.
Fuck that,
man.
That's
not where we play.
That's right. Anyways, Joey, I think that's it for the Bitcoin related stuff. We're past the hour, slightly over, I think. Yeah, it's time to transition to the Notable side of things.
Let's rip it. Heading over to Notable. You guys know what to do. If you're on video, stay put. If you're on audio, we'll see you tomorrow. That's it. Take care of yourself.
And don't be a cock. Are you a fan of the old school NHL 94 game on the Genesis or SNES? Why not check out my show, the NHL 94 Podcast? From tournaments and tactics to the people who make up this community. Check it out wherever you listen to podcasts or find it on YouTube.